Good morning. Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on August the 8th, 2024. Joined today on the news by C.J. Miller. He has stories including Indiana Farm Bureau at the state fair and on state ag issues, and a new and improved Ag Economy Barometer, a HAT podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin here too, and he says Indiana weather looks dry and pleasant, at least for a few days. Yesterday, corn, beans, and wheat all lower. Market analysis on the way with Tom Fritz on the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader,
Carl Jorn,
and Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana, talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Indiana Farm Bureau talking about their support of the Indiana State Fair and why some farmers may be having a more positive outlook on the future of the ag economy. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, the reviews are in, and they're glowing for the Indiana Farm Bureau Fall Creek Pavilion, which also serves as the swine barn at the Indiana State Fair.
It has been a great facility. We're glad to have our name on it. I think it represents agriculture very well.
And that's Randy Crone, president of Indiana Farm Bureau. This is year number two that the new pavilion has been open during the Indiana State Fair. Crone says the decision for Indiana Farm Bureau to become the naming rights sponsor was a win-win for everyone involved.
Our expectations were high, and you see the drawings and you think this is going to be great, but then when we opened it last year, it exceeded all our expectations by all means. And then talking to the youth, the ones showing the livestock in there, they were all excited. Their conditioning, I think, was a great hit, but just the facilities, the state of the art.
In addition to sponsoring many different events at the Indiana State Fair, Crone says that Indiana Farm Bureau has also been keeping an eye on ag policy decisions being made on Capitol Hill.
Nationally, it's trying to get a farm bill passed, which, you know, there's a lot of politics. We've been able to keep the politics out of the Farm Bureau the past several farm bills. This year, it seems to be bleeding in there. That's a tough one.
Crone adds that he and his team are also meeting with Indiana lawmakers about statewide ag policies.
We're talking about property taxes and we're talking about water, the movement of water, and we've talked about water quality for a lot of years, but now we're talking water quantity and how do we ensure everybody has enough and we don't have losers or we don't move water and all of a sudden agriculture turns the switch on and no water comes out.
You can find the full conversation with Indiana Farm Bureau President Randy Crone at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. Well, farmers across the U.S. are feeling better about the state of the ag economy. That's according to the latest Ag Economy Barometer survey from Purdue University. Dr. Michael Langemeyer, Associate Director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, says he was surprised that more farmers have an improved outlook on the ag economy, given the significant drop in commodity prices over the past year.
And when you look at corn and soybeans, for example, and you project net returns for corn and soybeans in 2024, I think this could be one of the worst years in terms of net returns since 2007. And about 55% of the people surveyed are primarily corn and soybeans.
Dr. Jim Minter, Director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, believes the timing of when they conducted the survey may have had an influence on the results.
It was the 15th through the 19th of July. That coincided with the Republican National Convention that took place in Milwaukee. And we've seen this in the past in 2016, following the 2016 election when Trump was elected. We saw a big jump in sentiment. In 2020, when Trump lost, we saw things move the opposite direction.
What are the top concerns that are currently on the minds of U.S. farmers?
Number one issue continues to be high input costs, chosen by 34% of the people in the survey. Number two, though, is lower crop and livestock prices. That was chosen by 29% of the people in the survey as their top concern. And then the other one that has changed, concerns about rising interest rates. That did decline this month. It was chosen by 17% of the people in the survey. Compared to this time last year, it was chosen by roughly one out of four, 24%.
Read the full results of the latest Purdue Ag Economy Barometer survey at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmer stories at FCMA.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey farmers, do you want to see weeding tools before you buy them? Learn how to adjust cultivators and see what's new in weeding tools? Then make plans today to attend the Midwest Weed Control Field Day, September 11th at Purdue's Miggs Horticultural Research Farm in Lafayette, Indiana. Enjoy weeding tool demos of all scales, a morning trade show, and cultivation education for vegetables and row crops. Register online early to guarantee your spot and lunch. Search Midwest Mechanical at thelandconnection.org. That's thelandconnection.org.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eiley Fabrications. Many liners rivet or plug weld on top of the OEM, simply covering the wear. But Eiley steel wear part liners are made with the best steel, are easy to install, and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit. Visit IHLEFabrications.com. And elevate your harvest this season.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. The farm forecast, not really all that exciting this morning. We're moving into a dry forecast window. We are going to be sunny, dry, and pleasant for most of the next few days. Humidity values down a little bit yesterday and should stay lower today and tomorrow. Start to see humidity move higher just a little bit over the weekend. And then next week, we're back to typical August humidity. Temperatures do not look to be over the top at this point in time. I think we're going to be seeing the heat dome stay well off to the south over parts of Texas and southern Oklahoma, so less concerned about the hot air getting into our neck of the woods here. I think we have the forecast completely dry through this coming Monday. Now, getting into next Tuesday, we may have to deal with a few hit and miss scattered showers, particularly in southwest Indiana. Clouds over other parts of the state. That would be Monday night into early Tuesday morning. But then we're right back to sunny and pleasant. Well, dry weather, maybe not as pleasant, as humidity value starting to creep up a little bit. I think our next statewide rain potential is going to come on Thursday and Friday. Thursday, we see it in southern parts of Indiana. Friday, we can see it more central and north. That's going to give us anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch, coverage around 60 to 70% of the state. And after that, we go back to mostly dry weather, dryness dominating in the plains as well. However, we're starting to see signs of some moisture trying to come up through that Arizona, New Mexico area into the Intermountain West. That could change the pattern, especially as we move into the last half of August. What I think it yields is timely precipitation. Even though I'm calling for a mostly dry 7 to 10 day stretch here, I think that we can still talk about timely precipitation as we move through the second part of the month of August. So I'm looking still at no problems for growth and development, pod set, pod fill, the blooming on soybeans that's happening right now. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
In Indiana, the Lieutenant Governor is also the State Secretary of Agriculture. This means the new Lieutenant Governor that we will elect this November will have a big impact on your farming operation and on the state's agriculture. The three candidates vying for this position will participate in a live debate on agriculture August 13th at 3 p.m. at the Indiana State Fair. Hoosier Ag Today will live stream this debate on our website, mobile app, YouTube channel, and Facebook page. Get all the details at HoosierAgToday.com.
Corn, beans, and wheat all sell off. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. Final numbers coming up at the end of our report. We begin with market analysis, and I grabbed it from Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. We spoke at the end of the trading session. Tom, the grain's down and soybeans sold off as well. It was not an across-the-board sweep in the soy complex, though, as soy oil did work higher. So let's start there. Obviously, plenty to talk about when it comes to weather and the cooler and drier spell that we're looking at.
Well, bean oil, I think it's twofold. There's a, with the low prices, bean oil here, August bean oil, what was it, at a three-year low, and other vegetable oils are also, I don't want to say at three-year lows, but also dramatically lower. And I think that has stimulated a little bit of export interest on a global basis, as well as a reversal in the recent meal oil spreads. Prior to yesterday, meal oil, that spread was worth $5,000 a contract over the last 2 weeks. So I think the meal market's shown a little bit of toppiness, if you will. And so that in turn props up bean oil. But bean oil, it's, as I've said before, here you have, a 60-pound bushel of soybeans, and the lion's share of that goes to soybean meal, not soybean oil. What is it, 11 pounds go to bean oil? Most of the balance goes to meal. So it's like, where are you going to go with that? So, at best, bean oil tries to steady up a soybean market. But here in this case, you look at soybeans, they were lower early, tried to rally, and then gives us a less than inspiring finish. And I think, number one, that's prompted by old crop cash beans are moving. As well as the idea we're going to see a neutral to bearish soybean crop report come on Monday. The estimates from the different news services came out last night, and I've compiled them. And let me pull them up here so I'm not misquoting. We always want to give you pertinent, spot-on information. In soybeans, the trade's looking for an increase in production of roughly, 36 million soybeans over and above what they gave us in July. That's going to feature a 52.5 yield per acre, which is a half a bushel greater than the trend line yield. And, a lot of folks have been saying, what about acres? Well, acres, the quote-unquote smart guys are expecting harvested acres to drop by just 150,000. So bottom line is, you look at that, you look at production data, you look at projected carryout data, that's going to increase, 31 million bushels. What's bullish about that? And, the soybean carryout, 466 million bushels projected. I have to think, well, we came close to it. September beans came within 0.75 of having a 9 in front of it. So I think that is in the cards, that beans are going to have a 9 in front of them. But just, how big of a 9 or how low of a 9 remains to be seen. So I think, that impacts the soybean market. And, like I said, I think the meal market's trying to give up the ship a little bit. So then you turn to corn, and you know, corn numbers. We're looking for, what is it, the smart guys are suggesting our corn crop's going to increase by just 18 million bushels. The yield's going to be up 1.1 bushels to the acre at 182.1. The trend line yield was 181. And harvested acres, you know, it's kind of an offsetting issue, are expected to be down not quite 500,000 acres. So then you look at a projected carryout of 2.107 million bushels, billion bushels, I should say. And that's an increase of not a lot, but 10 million bushels. But bottom line is we've got a ton of product. And, so far our demand is quite suspect. And as I mentioned in beans, corn, you're also seeing old crop producers selling. Spreads continue to widen out. And so, it's kind of like, I don't want to call it the perfect storm, but, right now the bullish rationale is want is wanting, as one would say, meaning, what can be a surprise out there? Greater greater decrease in harvested acres? Well, that remains to be seen. This season, or I should say for this report, Farm Services is going to be asked upon to give us their idea of harvested acres. This is the earliest report from Farm Services. Last year, they gave an acreage report for the September report, and that was the earliest that they had ever given an acreage report. Normally, it's done in October. So, I question just how accurate is this report going to be. So I think that's why a lot of the quote-unquote smart guys are thinking that whatever harvested acres we lose won't be a big number. And then last but not least is wheat. There's a fair amount of global business out there, but unfortunately the U.S. is not getting any of it. What was it the other day? Egypt announced a 3.8 million ton tender for deliveries every month through the next, 6-7 months. Well, unfortunately, none of that's going to come from the U.S. Algeria has announced a milling wheat tender. They don't buy anything from us. So couple that with the idea that we're going to have a bearish wheat crop report. Right now, the average guess is looking for total wheat production to increase by just 8 million bushels. Not a big number. But, the bottom line is we don't need bigger numbers. And the wheat carryout is expected to increase by just 4 million bushels. But still, you're looking at 860 million bushel projected carryout. Where are you going to go with that? So right now on the forefront, everything looks kind of negative.
Tom Fritz, Market Commentary. Tom with EFG Group in Chicago. Now, the Wednesday settlements. September corn, a nickel and a half lower. It dips to 3.83 1/4. Dease corn, $4.75, losing 4.5 cents. March down 4 1/4, 4.18. The September bean contract now down to 10.05 1/4, losing 8 3/4. Novi dipping 8 cents down to 10.18 3/4. And September wheat, 5.38 1/4, a nickel lower. The meats mixed. October live cattle, 179.27, up 22 cents. And October lean hog, 74.57, down $1.82. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.